Kauai, the Garden Isle, also fittingly dubbed the Island of Discovery. It's no accident that Kauai served as the film location for numerous iconic movies such as South Pacific and Jurassic Park. 5,000-foot-tall Mount Waialae, one of the wettest spots on Earth, records an average rainfall of 460 inches. And this is a mere taste of the myriad allures of the majestic Isle of Kauai. But it's not for everyone. If you're looking for a shopping mecca, or if you savor raucous pub crawls, try Oahu. But if you are overdue for a tranquilizing decompression session far from the maddening crowd, Kauai is the place. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Please join me on the Isle of Discovery for a visit with Sue Konoho, director of the Kauai Visitors Bureau. We'll also join Melissa McFerrin with the Kauai Farm Bureau and Kauai Grown as she promotes sustainable ag tourism and some practical insights about the delightful weekly farmers markets, a favorite adventure for locals and visitors alike. A sojourn to the Isle would be woefully incomplete without a walkabout through the Kauai Museum. The Garden Isle is a treasure, and the Kauai Museum is the treasure map. Sue Konoho.
Hi, Sue.
Aloha. Good to have you back on island.
It's my dream and pleasure to come back as much as I can.
Well, we're happy to have you, and I'm glad you're enjoying our beautiful island.
I am. And we were talking earlier about Hawaii as a tourist destination and that double-edged sword that I want to brag and tell everybody about, and then I go, wait a minute, I'm going to ruin this place because everybody's going to come over here. That's a delicate balance, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, Kauai is a small island, and so we really have actually only 67,000 people on the island. We average about anywhere from 18,000 to 20,000 visitors a day. So it is trying to manage our resources, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of it. And we're always looking for people that understand what Kauai is about. So if you think about, you know, a rejuvenating island, it's a place to come and relax, a place to enjoy nature, then we're finding the right people for Kauai.
When I think of Kauai, I do. I think of Jurassic Park. This is an incredible setting for nature.
It is, and you know what's been nice about it is when you think about the movies that have filmed here, I mean, we've either been other places. Recently in The Descendants, we were actually Kauai itself, so that was an unusual moment. But like you said, Jurassic Park, we were other places, and the history of movies on Kauai, I think, is a kind of really enticed people to come and see the nature of Kauai and enjoy the island.
Mm-hmm. As you know, I've spent time on Moorea and Bora Bora, and I always assumed that South Pacific was filmed on Moorea, but I come here and they go, nope.
Yeah, it was actually filmed on Kauai. We had Mitzi Gaynor here, and we just celebrated the 50th anniversary back in 2009. And it's amazing when you think about, if you look at some of those locations, you can still see that exact same look today.
Lumahai Beach, isn't it?
Lumahai Beach, yes. And then that look, you know, when they had Bali High in the background, that's up at the St. Regis. And so it's really nice to see what was actually in the movie.
It seems every year I watch a new movie or even on TV, and I go, I know where that is. Talk to us about some of the recent movies and filming that's taken place on Kauai.
Well, as you saw, The Descendants was very popular, and we kind of talk about that being almost the South Pacific of modern day, because people who really enjoyed the soundtrack really got into the movie and the story, and it was kind of tying in more about modern day Hawaii, so that was nice for us. But you saw Soul Surfer, the true story about Bethany Hamilton, and she's a Kauai resident on island, and so then we had Just Go With It, and then the big blockbuster, of course, was Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. So if you have a chance to watch that movie, you're going to recognize a lot of the Kauai areas.
I remember Jimmy Miranda. He was talking about that a couple years ago.
Yes, yeah. And then we actually have a movie tour on island, so they can take you around to certain locations. Some of the lands here are private, so you wouldn't get a chance to see it unless you're on the movie tour. So that's an opportunity for people to kind of go back in time and see the movie clip and then see the actual location.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us for a moment about some of the outdoor active adventure things that even a non-sports person would like doing. For example, I did zip lining a few years ago, and I loved it, and I'd love to do it tomorrow. Those sort of things are so fun.
So the island is a place that you really get into the way you want to experience it. So either really daring jumping out of a plane. We actually have skydiving if you want to do that. But I'm more like you. I'm more into the zip line side of things. Or kayaking the Wailua River. We have the actually only navigable rivers in the state of Hawaii are on Kauai. So that's a unique feature about us. Of course, a boat tour, and if you're into snorkeling, is really swimming amongst the fishes, you know, on the North Shore. And then hiking. Hiking is a really great experience here, and that's an opportunity. And then, of course, back riding, ATV tours. So it's kind of up to you how adventurous you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about zip line for a moment. Do they still do that in the Kauai backcountry adventures?
They do. And so backcountry has theirs, and then there's Princeville has theirs. Koloa zip line is a new one. So we have a pretty diverse group of zip lines here, and it's just depending on what kind of scenery you want to see. I think you did Princeville, right?
Well, no, I did the Kauai backcountry.
Oh, you did that one. Yeah, yeah. So that's, yeah. So
yeah, they were filming an Adam Sandler film when
just
we did that,
it.
And these Vietnam helicopters were coming overhead, about 10 feet overhead from us.
I remember that. Yeah, so Just Go With It was being filmed, and they were filming Kilauea Falls.
Yeah, that was awesome. Talk to us about biking. I mean, that sounds like it could be deadly, but it could be awesome here.
So definitely there's a bike path, and so that is where we would really want you to focus, because like you said, the roads are probably not designed for that. But the bike path that really starts on the east side of the island and runs right now to Wailua. Great scenery. A lot of people will do just walking. You don't have to be on a bike. No segways, by the way, because I know somebody came to me and they said, great idea about segways. I said, no, nothing motorized is allowed. It's just bikes or walking tours, or not tours, but you know, yourself. And I've seen a lot of great sunrise and sunset photos posted by people walking along the path. So it's really great to see people out enjoying nature.
Talk to us a moment about philosophy, and we kind of where we started. Come see paradise, but how do you avoid destroying it by people coming?
Right.
What a delicate balance. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the thing, you know, you just saw, we were talking story with Kauai Museum, and, you know, really going back into the roots of the history of the Hawaiian Islands and understanding the culture, I think, is important. Because one thing you have to remember, when you come here, we are not Mexico. You know, it is beautiful, but it is a destination that's built on the Hawaiian culture and the Hawaiian people. And if you can understand that a little bit more, I think it kind of enhances your experience of the island. We were talking about Heiau. You know, there's Heiau on the island. Those are very sacred areas to the Hawaiian people. And understanding, you know, we don't take rocks, we don't take sand, we don't take coral. We actually get things that are mailed back to us with stories, so I would really advise people, you know, respect the aina, respect the land. Don't take anything except for memories and photos with you, you know, that you enjoyed when you were here. But it is understanding the culture and understanding even hula and what that is, the message of taking stories and carrying them down through the centuries. And I think if people take a moment and really learn about kalo, about taro, why is that so important? The ahu pua'a, when you look at from the land to the sea, that was their area to feed them. You know, those are things that if people take a moment to learn, I think it'll enhance your experience and make you understand why this place is so special.
Let's talk about the distinctive different areas to not only visit, but to stay.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed. I've been coming here since the 70s, and I have a hard time, a real hard time, because I love the North Shore.
Right.
I equally love the East Side because it's so centrally located.
Right.
And I love the West Side, and I love the South Side. Talk to us about the different and distinctive regions.
So we look at it from almost five areas, and you've covered four of them. So if you think about the North Shore, and that's more the rainforest and definitely the lush green side of the island, there's people who love Princeville and will only stay in that area, and I understand that. And there's some people that just love Poipu and will only stay in that area. I'm glad you do have a chance to move around and really get to experience both sides, because I think if you just stay in one area, maybe the next time you come back, you'll try a new area.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, we look at it from the North Shore, which is the Princeville area. Then you come down to the East Side, as you were talking about. And what is great about the East Side is you're centrally located. So you're halfway to the North Shore and you're halfway to the South Shore.
And there's some pretty good surfing right there.
There is some. And then when you think about it, you're centrally located. There's a pretty good price point that goes along with that a lot of times. And it's good for families, and there's great shopping in that area. So it's that area's kind of growing. You'd be surprised how they're getting the message out about the Royal Coconut Coast Association. Then we have Lihue Kalapaki, which is where we are right now. We're enjoying in the Lihue area. If you look at Lihue Kalapaki, the Kalapaki Bay is kind of our cornerstone for that area, but of course the airport, and then of course the cruise ships coming in. So that's kind of the hub when you think about it. And then you move on to the South Shore, which of course you've stayed in. They call that the sunny side of the island.
Which is true, isn't it?
It is true. It tends to be. That's very popular. So if you think about Poipu Beach, very popular. That's a lot of times people will see monk seals down there. And of course we have a rule about monk seals is you stay 100 feet back, but you can enjoy them, and they're not dead. They're just resting. We always remind people just respect their place and it's all good. And then you head on to the west side. And, of course, the west side is really kind of going back in time. And that's a lot of times a lot of us locals will go out and hang out there and just reconnect and unplug a little bit and hang out. But that's where you go back to Waimea Plantation Cottages and some of the areas that are more old school. And it's really great going back there. And, of course, that's where you have Waimea Canyon, mm-hmm. Grand Canyon of the Pacific, and, of course, Koke'e, and that's a very special area.
Again, my own personal bias, I love the west side for that exact reason. To stay out the Waimea Plantation Cottages and walk to the town of Waimea, mm-hmm. you don't feel like you're on a touristic island at all.
Yes.
It's like being on a little baby remote island.
It is. And I know I've celebrated my anniversary out there, and it's just a place where we can kind of just take a moment and really be away from everything. And it's great. It really is. And it is, like you said, when you go back there, it just is a different feel. Each side of the island has a different feel about it. And that's what's great. And we have people that will stay, you know, 3 nights on the North Shore and 3 nights on the South Shore, or they'll move around, and it's great. I think what's great about Kauai, it's an island you can come back to and experience different ways with different people. And so we'll have people who come and get engaged, and then they come. Some people will do their honeymoon destination for here. Some people do destination weddings. And then we've had multi-generation families come out and really enjoy the island.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the Three Little Bears or whatever, in that it's just right.
It is.
It's big, but yet it's small enough that you can go from North Shore to South Shore in a day and back.
Well, and you know, it's funny because when I promote on the mainland, and when one particular area, Australia, they'll say, so how many pubs do you have? And I said, that would be almost none. And when they're talking about discos and mm-hmm. Sephora stores, we'll say, you know, maybe you want to consider a different island. And so we're really clear about who we are, and we want to make sure that the person that's coming here knows what they're getting, and they aren't looking for nightclubs and for Sephora stores. And I mean, that does exist in Hawaii, and that's usually on Oahu or on Maui, and that's ready for you. And if you want to go do that, then you can come here and maybe do some spa treatments, or come here and do some nature stuff. But we try to really be clear with everybody so that it's a win-win for who's coming really gets who we are and can really enjoy what we're all about.
A leading question, what's your tagline?
Hawaii's Island of Discovery. Mm-hmm. So we look at it from that perspective of it's your chance to come and discover. Either it's a discovering something about yourself, or discovering about the island, or family members will come for anniversaries and reunions to discover about their families. So it's Hawaii's Island of Discovery. We are using the brand name of Rejuvenating. Each island kind of has a brand name now. Ours is Rejuvenating, and it does tie in a lot to say this is a place you come to kind of recharge your batteries.
Definitely. That's why I'm here.
Yes. And you're doing a great job of it.
Sue, we're just about out of time. Before we go, any last things that you'd like to share?
Well, I love having people who come back that love this island, and you're one of them. And so thank you for coming back and sharing what's special about Kauai. Anybody who has information that they want to know about the island, kauaidiscovery.com is our website. So anytime you can check with us, and we're happy to answer questions. And I know Christy in my office and other girls that work with me are really great about sharing any of the information and updates that we have.
Mahalo, Sue.
Aloha.
We've been speaking with Sue Kanoho on the island of Kauai. Come along and join us as we visit with Melissa McFerrin with the Kauai County Farm Bureau and Kauai Grown, as she talks about the local ag scene, from Kauai Grown coffee to pineapples, rambutan, and more, and especially the wonderful weekly farmers markets. Melissa McFerrin, the executive administrator with Kauai Grown, Hawaii's Garden Island. Hi. Tell us about agriculture and how it relates to survivability, sustainability, and even tourism in Kauai.
Many of our population here on Kauai first came over here to work on the sugar plantations. Of course, have our host culture, but then we had missionaries come over, and the sugar plantations were developed, and people came from around the world. So when you enjoy, whether it's our language, our culture, our special way of doing things, whether it's Portuguese sweetbread or malasadas, wonderful ahi, sushi, all these kinds of things, you've got Japanese culture, Filipino culture, Chinese culture, Hawaiian culture, we said goodbye to the sugar industry just a few years ago with the closure of Gay and Robinson, and we're really moving toward diversified agriculture. Where we are here today outside the Kauai Coffee Visitor Center is actually an example of that. This originally was sugar plantation. Several years ago, they started growing coffee, at least a decade. Now they have really grown up as a signature brand for the county of Kauai.
And associated with the state as well, as a bigger brand, isn't it?
At Coffee Plantation, they have over 3,000 acres of coffee. And this is not only the largest in the state, it's the largest in the United States.
Wow, I did not know. In my mind, I would think somewhere on the Big Island there would be giant Kona plantation.
I know it's surprising, but a lot of our farms here today are small. We grow a variety. We have local beef, grass-fed beef. Of course, there's coffee, tropical fruits, tropical flowers. We also have a goat milk dairy, no cow dairies.
Number one, what is the ideal thing to grow here? What just, you throw it in the ground and it just comes up on its own? And a crop or a product that might not do well. Does anybody grow strawberries here, for example?
What we have is a lot of smaller farmers, which you can meet at the farmers markets. Also, the chefs are really enjoying working with getting different ingredients. We've been working on giving an opportunity for farmers to market directly through some higher-end farmers markets where there's not only the fresh produce, but also plants and seeds, value-added products that are made from local ingredients and knowing the sources, fresh food that you can eat right there. So it's kind of an experience. You can come and you can talk with the farmers.
Somebody the other day was talking about a gourmet farmers market.
Gourmet in that it's a culinary market, that we look at the whole experience. We have two markets, one on Saturday from 9:30 to 1, and that's at Kauai Community College, and we call that the Kauai Community Market. We also have over 40 vendors selling all different types of products, and they are from around the island, from Hanalei all the way to Kekaha on the west side, selling all manner and variety of produce and spices and fruits. But what was unique about it when it was introduced was that you could also have value-added product. How it started was the farmers called us and said, we need a place where we can sell our coffees, where we can sell goat cheese, honey, other types of products. And so we said, why not make this a showcase where farmers and community meet?
You've been listening to Melissa McFerrin with the Kauai County Farm Bureau and Kauai Grown. For further information about ag on the island of Kauai, log on to kauaigrown.org.
A visit to Kauai, the island of discovery, would not be complete without an exploration of the Kauai Museum in Lihue Town. The museum does a masterful job of showcasing Kauai's history, from geological formation through thousands of years of anthropologic and ethnographic history. Here you will discover the storytelling of Hawaiian history through the dance of hula, to the arrival of missionaries in the early 1800s through the age of sugarcane plantations, a time when life in cane camps dominated the culture on the Garden Isle. Even though modern-day Kauai is just that, with cell phones, internet, and five-star resorts, ancient Hawaii lives on through cultural customs, from song and dance to spiritual beliefs. And the Kauai Museum is the place where your journey of discovery on the Garden Isle will all come together. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Join me at the Kauai Museum in Lihue Town, where Lamia Almeida talks story with us about the museum, as well as the art of the hula. And Miss Almeida knows her stuff, as she's a hula dance instructor in addition to her work at the museum.
Aloha, my name is La'amea Almeida, and we are here at the Kauai Museum and here in the heart of Lihue Town. I'm excited to take you through right now.
So this is the centerpiece of the museum where we're at now?
It is. This building tells the story of Kauai and Ni'ihau. So it tells of the origin of Kauai geologically. It tells you about the lifestyle of the people, all of the special things that make Kauai so exciting, the different artifacts that we have here that are specific to Kauai, like the koi ponders that we have, the makaloa mats, even stories about our Hawaiian lineage, our chiefs and our chiefesses. It's all right here in this building.
Tell us about some of the objects that we see here.
Well, right in front of you here, you see some umeke, which are Hawaiian bowls. You can see how beautiful, bright, and shiny they are, shined up with coconut oil or kukui oil, and they were pieces on family dinner tables. Like this one right here, probably filled with poi, which was a staple for the Hawaiians.
A lot of what we see here, is it old and been donated by families, or is it new reproductions?
Most everything here have been donated. Our collections have been donated by families that have been on the island for many, many years. Right here in front of you, you see this is a new artifact to our museum, and it is the symbol of Lono, the god Lono. We use it during the makahiki season, which is a period where the Hawaiians would stop their work and pay homage to this god, Lono. It starts in September, and it lasts for about 3 to 4 months, and it's when rains are abundant, thanks to Lono, and the soil and the lands get replenished with nutrients and rest for that period for the purpose of planting again in the spring months. The shape of our island, Kauai.
Straight in front of us, we have a phenomenal cloak. Tell us about that.
This cloak, as you can see with the red and the yellow feathers, it's a symbol of royalty. Anytime that you see the feathers, it's a royal standard. So this cape, it is very old.
Is this one of the capes that's made out of the bird feathers of the bird that is extinct now?
Yes, it is. The cape in front of us come from the birds of the o'o and the i'iwi, little tiny birds, and they would collect the birds by putting sap on the branches where the birds would come and perch, and they remove just a few feathers from each bird, so you can imagine how many times they would have to go out and trap a bird to obtain all of the feathers that they needed. And the necklaces made out of human hair, the lei niho pala'o.
Would that be from Kamehameha time? Or?
Yes, definitely from way back then.
Isn't it a miracle that these items survive?
It is, and it's humbling to work here and to be amongst these artifacts, and you start to feel like you become protectors of all of these treasures.
Classic, priceless.
Yes.
Cannot replace. Talk to us about your specialty.
Oh, I love sharing the Hawaiian culture programs that we have here at the museum. Just today we had a young gentleman here that came and he shared with us some information that he gathered with his students having to do with the Hawaiian lunar calendar, which was really exciting. It's quite different from the Gregorian calendar. And we learned a lot about how to apply the findings to our everyday life, such as when is a good time to fish and when is a good time to farm during those moons. And
the cycles, yeah.
Correct.
And this is intact history that's been passed down orally, or was it written down a long time ago?
I believe most of it was oral. At some point in time, the missionaries came and offered the scientific methods, and so then it was recorded at that time. Uh-huh. But now they're bringing it back to, you know, observing, being silent, observing with your senses and recording information in that way.
Talk to us about your personal passion.
I love hula. I'm a hula dancer. I'm a hula teacher. Oh, and so that's what I enjoy sharing here at the museum. We have quite a beautiful collection of pahu that was donated to us by Auntie Sarah Ka'ilikea's family. She was a kupuna here on island. And we have some of her implements, and it's a honor to have them here.
Can we take a look at that?
Oh, sure.
Great.
So here we have two of her pahu, and they're very special. One is from a fallen coconut tree that she had found here.
What are pahu?
Pahu are drums. They're ceremonial drums. The fallen coconut tree is from the area of Wailua, and that is very significant on our island because from Wailua is where the first pahu drums came up from Tahiti. So that tie-in is very heartfelt when you look at a drum like this.
Mm-hmm. Some of the other accoutrements or implements that would be involved.
And so here we also have her ipuheke, and we have some implements here, such as the uliuli, the feather rattlers, and also pu'ili, which is the split bamboo that's here.
And do you know much about the history of the hula on the island in Hawaii and how it started and where it came from? Was it Tahitian?
Every island likes to believe that they have their own birthplace of hula. And on Kauai, being that we're the oldest island, we like to believe that we have the birthplace of hula here, and that is over on our north shore at Ke'e, at a heiau called Ke'e Ahu'olaka, proudly represented by our chief Lohiau Ipo, who is the chief of that area, and also had a hula halau. Hula halau from all over the island love to come and pay homage to not only Lohiau, but to the goddess Laka at this place and celebrate hula.
Tell us a little bit about the philosophy behind hula. I imagine you're imparting instruction and teaching like your daughters through the metaphor of dance. Is that true?
Yeah, hula is a means by which history has been preserved. The whole purpose of dancing hula is to tell the story. And yes, stories were transmitted generation to generation to generation. And so there's a lot of kuleana or responsibility placed on dancers to tell the story the way it was told to you, to dance the dance it was taught to you, I think, since I was seven.
When you were seven, a little girl starting out, do you remember the oldest hula woman that you ever met and how old they were?
Actually, you know, when I was inspired to dance hula, my hula teacher at the time, she was a beautiful, young, vibrant woman. And I stayed with her for many years. Her name was Ku'ule Punua. I can just remember her beauty in the moonlight dancing on a stage. And she was captivating. And she is the reason why I started dancing hula. I'm sure I'd like to inspire somebody to do the same.
Talk to us for a moment about the plantation era on Kauai.
Well, I grew up in a time where the plantation was just starting to phase out, and it's wonderful that we have so many artifacts here that can bring us back to that time. Unfortunately, you know, you drive around today and you don't see plantation fields like, you know, you would even 10 years ago. And upstairs here, we have a wonderful sample of what a plantation house would be. You know, the kids come here and they love to look at this and things that they hear their grandparents talking about. And so this brings things full circle for them. Stories that they've been told, they can actually see them here right at the Kauai Museum.
And you'd have items from the cane workers' houses as well as the plantation owners, I imagine.
Oh, it's wonderful. We even have records such as their log of how much they got paid a day, which wasn't much at all. We do have some tools up here that they used, clothing, and items from the mill also.
To sum it up, the Kauai Museum is really a must-do, must-stop-in for anybody that wants to understand the island before today.
Well, definitely. It's somewhere you want to come to before you even start venturing out. You get a very wonderful appreciation of the life here on the island.
So after you leave the museum, everything you see and do will make more sense.
I believe so.
Well, we're out of time, but thank you so much.
Well, thank you for coming, for visiting with us. My name is, again, is La'amea Almeida, and you can reach me via the website, which is www.kauaimuseum.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and aloha.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Kauai Museum on the island of Kauai.